Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
Identify that our God is responsible for the communication of His Word through the Bible. We also identified that the Bible stands inerrant, that man is not able to combat the Bible and to defeat it, but also not only in regard to the inspiration and the inerrancy of the Scripture, we understand that the Bible is the authority of which God speaks to mankind, and it is only according to the Bible that we must do and say things in our individual life as well as collectively as the true body of Christ. Good people, when we think in regard to the denominational world, we understand that the denominational churches appoint and follow men. You say, Kevin, how do we know that they do that? In fact, in Roman Catholicism, they appoint a man that they identify as the Pope. And good people, they look at this man as the superior head amongst Roman Catholicism, and they bow themselves down to this man as if he is some sort of a deity. In like figure, when we think in regard to denominational churches, we see that they call their preachers pastor. It is indeed a misusage of the terminology. Why? Because pastor or presbyteros in the Greek language is in reference to the elders. In this, though, whenever the denominational churches refer to their pastors, they are referring to this man as the chief shepherd over the body. And we understand that certainly Jesus Christ is indeed the head over all things to the church. How do they look and view their members in the church? Good people, they are referred to as parishioners, as those who are members of a body of which they are head over. They refer to these individuals as the parishioners in the church. Good people, in regard to all of this, they exalt and they worship these men. How so? In some of these bodies, they will refer to their men as reverend. However, according to what the psalmist exclaims in Psalms 110 and verse 9, there is but one who is awesome or to be revered, and that is our God, and therefore it is only God who deserves and should be called reverend. No man should be called that. But also sometimes in these religious groups, we will find is that they will refer to their preachers as a father. In Roman Catholicism, oftentimes they do this. However, we also understand, as is taught by our Lord in the book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9, that man is not to call no one father. Now, understand in the context, he's not saying that we cannot refer to our dads as our physical father, but what he's saying is to the point where we would exalt a man on the same level as God. Why? Because only God deserves to be recognized as the one and true Father responsible for mankind. Also, we understand, though, from time to time, in these religious groups, they will refer to their ministers, their preachers, as a priest. But good people, according to what Peter taught in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, every single Christian is a priest. We are a part of the royal priesthood, who's able to approach our God through our high priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why do people do this? Why do men allow themselves to be put into some sort of a position such as this? Sometimes, good people, I contend that they do this for the praise of mankind. John chapter 12 and verse 43. In all of this, the things that they say and they do not do these things to the glory of our God, but instead, they do these things to be seen by and to be heard by mankind. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. But also, as I stand before you today, I tell you that I believe that some of them do these things out of ignorance. Take into consideration the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 26. Whenever we have in the context here where Peter appears before Cornelius and Cornelius bows himself down before this man, why did he do that? Cornelius knew that a man from God was to come unto him and to proclaim unto him the way of our God. And because of his appearance before Cornelius, now Cornelius thought that this man needed to be bowed down to. And Peter told him, he said, stand up. I'm just like you. I'm just a man. We also understand in the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 15, concerning those at Lystra, these individuals had bowed themselves down to Paul and Barnabas, and all of this, they thought that they were a god. And again, these men told them to stand up, that they were just like them. Well, in all of this then, I believe that we have some in the denominational world, in the religious world today, who are allowing themselves to be called by names that they must not allow themselves to go by simply because they do not understand that. But yet at the same time, as I stand before you today, I want us to understand that ignorance is not going to be excusable in the day of judgment. In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we understand he says that God commands all men now to repent. There was indeed a time that God winked at whenever man was ignorant. However, God now expects mankind to know His Word, but not only to know His Word, to comply fully with His Word. And whenever they stand before God in judgment, whether they knew to do right and did wrong, or whether they did not know to do right and did wrong, they will indeed be accountable for their life that they have lived here upon the face of the earth. Also, there are some who fit that category, who do these things, who allow themselves to be called reverend, who allow themselves to be called pastor, who allow themselves to be called priest and other such names because of selfish ambition. These individuals are prideful, they are very arrogant, and in all of this, they are wanting the attention to be focused upon them versus focusing upon our God. Good people, whenever we come together as God's people, it is not me as the minister, it is not our elders as rulers or shepherds over the flock that we are to give our attention to. It's not those who preside over the table or the one leading us in singing that we need to focus our thoughts upon, but rather it is upon our God. And if only those in the religious world would understand that. We are not to draw attention to ourselves, but rather we are here to praise and to worship our God and Him alone. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 rather, we understand that if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. The people in all of this, where do these individuals stand? There is indeed a day of judgment that our God has appointed that is coming. Life upon the face of this earth is coming to an end. Psalms 116 and verse 15. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, he says that as is appointed a man once to die, and then after this is the judgment. All of humanity will stand before God in judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 17 says that God will judge the righteous and the wicked. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Rome, in Romans chapter 14 verses 11 and 12, says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess in that day. Well, what is God saying? Good people, He is identifying that no one will be able to escape the judgment. Every single one of us, every person out in the world, every individual who claims to be religious, everyone will stand before God. And in that day, according to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, we will be judged according to the gospel, the things that are written in the Bible. And for that reason, we need to know the Bible. But not only to know the Bible, we need to comply with everything that the Bible teaches. We need to dot every I and we need to cross every T. Somebody says, Kevin, that's legalism. Good people, no, that's not. That's scriptural. We need to make certain that we do exactly as the Lord commands us to do. Nothing more and nothing less. Why? Because we shall stand before God in judgment. Those who teach false doctrine, according to what our Lord taught, they will be lost. And somebody might say, Kevin, that's harsh. How can you say that? Kevin, we live in a world where political correctness is not right. You can't say that from the pulpit. Good people, shame on me and shame on someone else if we do not say that from the pulpit. Why? Because it is according to Scripture. Our Lord said in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, many will come to Him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, in Your name have we not done all of these wonderful things? And Jesus said in verse 23, I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And understand, according to what is taught in the book of James chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, those who are teachers, preachers and teachers, we will be judged according to a higher standard. Why? Good people, because we have a responsibility to know and to proclaim God's Word aright. We are to speak as the oracles of God. We are to proclaim the whole counsel of God as it is given. And if we allow ourselves to succumb to false doctrine, and if we stand and proclaim things that are not true, we will be lost in that day. And those in the denominational world need to take heed and to know that very fact. In the Lord's church, we need to be very careful to preach and to teach the Word of God. That's what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. In all of us, he said, preach the Word. And these things, he says, preach the Word when? In season and out of season. He told Timothy there will come a time when man will not endure sound doctrine, where these people will have itching ears and they will heap to themselves teachers. And he says, Timothy, whenever these people don't want to hear the Word of God preached, you preach the Word. And he says, also you'll find times where they're saying amen. And he says, Timothy, at all times, you preach and teach the Word of God. But also, we need to make certain that in the Lord's church we call Bible things by Bible names. We need to make certain that we call the church that Jesus Christ died for, that Jesus Christ established, according to the church names that are found in the Bible. And good people, whenever we call ourselves churches of Christ, we are not denominationalizing that, or we need to make certain that we're not doing that, but rather that we are saying that we belong to Jesus, that we have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and added unto His church. And as a result of that now, we follow according to His doctrine exactly as He has given it unto us. That the church belongs to Christ. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. We need to make certain that we call the church according to the name that our God has given unto us. We need to make certain that we refer to the preacher from a biblical sense, in the way in which God expects the man to be called. But also, we need to make certain that we recognize and that we call our elders as leaders in the body of Christ, and that we refer to members not as parishioners, but rather as members in the body of Christ. And today, we live in a world that does not talk about sin, in the religious world that is, but in the Lord's church, we need to make certain that we continue to proclaim how God feels about sin. And that whenever we stand before God in judgment, that if individuals sin against our God, that they will indeed be eternally lost. Followers of Christ, good people, instead of followers of man. We need to make certain that we follow Jesus. Why follow Jesus? Because He is the name that God has given, wherein that man must be saved. In fact, Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes in the Father except through Me. How must we look at the denominational world? In 2 John verses 9 through 11, if anyone comes and does not stand in the doctrine of Christ, we need not to bid them Godspeed. Why? Because if we do, we will be a partaker of their evil deed. We need to follow Jesus, as what is taught in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. We need to walk as He walked and talk as He talked. We need to make certain that we walk in the light as He is in the light, in order for us to maintain our fellowship with the Lord. As I stand before you today, I tell you that sometimes brethren are guilty of putting preachers ahead of the elders. You say, Kevin, what do you mean by that? Good people, they will take what the preacher says versus following according. Hey, good people, we need to understand that our God has set forth a standard series of things in the New Testament Scripture that these men must meet in order for them to serve as elders in the body of Christ. And our Lord has set these men in the church for the purpose of leading and shepherding the flock, not the preacher, but rather the elders. And in all of these things, then, we need to make certain that we are following these shepherds as they are seeking to lead us down the path of which God commands us to go. But also sometimes in the body of Christ, we are guilty of misusing and abusing the term brother. You say, Kevin, how so? Sometimes, whenever we're having gospel meetings and things of that nature, we will say that it's brother so-and-so who's coming, or sister such-and-such, who's coming to hold the meeting or the ladies' day, and we will capitalize that brother or sister as if we're giving them some sort of a title. Let me explain further. And some of these things we can even do, and we're not aware that we're doing it. Years ago, as a young man who was at that time learning the way of the truth and seeking to follow according to the commandments of God, I was on fire and attending the church there in Paoli, Indiana. And we had Bob Stapleton, who was preaching as our preacher. We had other congregations in the area. That area is bombarded with anti-ism. And in all of that, we have family members who are part of those anti-congregations. But yet at the same time, we were always trying to reach out to them and to get them to turn loose of their isms and to come to Christ and to obey Him according to the standards that He Himself lays down. As a result of that, I went to one of the elders of one of these congregations and sat down with him and his wife in his home and kept talking about the works that we were doing at the congregation in Paoli. That brother Bob Stapleton was a very solid gospel preacher, and most certainly he is. He was and he is even to this day. And I kept talking about how that brother Stapleton was trying to get us involved in this, and that brother Stapleton was trying to get us to do that. And brother Stapleton is leading us in this manner and that manner. And whenever I left there that night, he says, "Well, it sounds as if you all have a lot of good works that you're doing." But he says, "Kevin," he said, "I want to encourage you one thing." He said, "You need to make certain that you're following the man versus following a man." And I looked at him and I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Tonight I've heard a lot about Brother Stapleton, but," he says, "I've heard little about Jesus." And brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to make certain that as we refer to one another as brother or sister, that we are not titling each other, that we are not giving somebody an exalted title with a big B or a big S. In those things, certainly we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we ought to refer to each other as such, but yet at the same time, we need to make certain that we're following the man versus following a man. In all things, we need to make certain that we are following Jesus Christ. Why? The Apostle Paul exclaims to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." In fact, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." And to people as the preacher here at East End, I want to encourage you, by all means, imitate me, but not for the sake of imitating me, as long as I am imitating Jesus. Look to my examples, and certainly if my examples line up with Christ, by all means, imitate those. But if they do not, don't follow me. Why? Because I am just a man. Anyone who occupies this pulpit, any person who stands before us and proclaims to be an authority from God, proclaiming from His message, they are mere men. If it's in a woman's class, they are ladies. And then therefore, we need to recognize them as such. And to realize, though, that we need to always be followers of the man, Christ Jesus, to follow according to His steps and His alone. What are the dangers in following man? Good people, it presents an appearance of evil, of which our God commands us that we are to abstain from. Sometimes, members of the body of Christ will just focus themselves upon the minister, and they will say, "Brother so-and-so did this. Our brother so-and-so has this good work going on, and I'm going to give myself over fully to this or to that." And in these things, it can give an appearance of evil in the congregation, but also externally. We need to realize that indeed we are to follow Jesus alone, and that the world is looking at us as to if we're following Christ or if we're following some sort of a man. We're to shine as a light into the world, so that all who are in the world might see our good works and glorify the Father. Not some man, but glorification be brought into the Father and into the Father alone. But also, we need to understand, as what was taught in the Scripture, as what we've already alluded to, that men are not to be worshipped. And somebody says, "Kevin, are you saying simply because I think so much of a preacher in the brotherhood that you're saying that I'm worshipping them?" But absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with us respecting ministers or church leaders for that matter. But yet at the same time, we need to make certain that we examine the level of love that we have in comparison to the love that we must have for the Lord. Why? Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 4 verse 23 and 24 that God is Spirit, and He says that God is seeking us to worship Him according to Spirit and in truth. Who is to be worshipped? The Father. Who can receive worship? Our God. Not man. Only our God. And we need to also understand that God will judge us. I said a few moments ago that whenever we look in regard to the denominational churches, in all of this, sometimes these individuals will participate in things that they must not participate in. And as a result of that, then, that they will stand before God in judgment. In like figure, every one of us will stand before God in judgment. And if we have followed a man versus following the man, good people, where will we stand in that day? We will be lost. And somebody says, well, Kevin, are you trying to judge my heart? Absolutely not. But I'm telling every one of us that we will stand before the one who's able to know what we're thinking about internally. God is able to see the heart and what we think in regard to men versus the way in which we look to the Christ. And in all these things, we need to make certain that it is always about Jesus in all things that we say and all that we do. How should we view our church leaders? Whenever it comes to the eldership, we need to love, honor, and to submit to these men. Why? Because the Bible identifies that these men have been chosen by God according to the New Testament Scripture. And in this, then, they are the ones who are responsible for our soul. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. These men look out for us. They understand God's will pertaining to our lives here and as it relates also to the church. And these men are constantly looking to the Scripture as well as our lives to make certain that we are indeed following the Bible and that each member is seeking to live their life according to New Testament Christianity. And good people, for that reason, these men need to be loved. They need to be honored. And we need to make certain that individually and collectively we submit to these men. In like figure then, we need to appreciate, to love and appreciate, and to work with our deacons. The deacons are special servants in the body of Christ. How are they special? The people, because these men must meet the criteria that our God has spelled out in the Scripture concerning servants in the church. And these men, as special servants, if you would, have the role and the responsibility of leading up the works in the body of Christ. And understanding all that, whenever I say that they have the responsibility to head these things up, it does not mean that these men are the only ones who are working in the areas that have been assigned to them through the eldership that have been identified in the Scripture. These men are responsible for laying out their various works. And then in like figure, as members of the body of Christ, every single one of us need to make certain that we are doing all that we can do to get ourselves involved in these good works, these scriptural works that our eldership says certainly pertain to the work of the church here. We need to appreciate and to work with our deacons. Also, whenever it comes to the minister, we need to respect as well as to support him. Good people, in order for a minister to do what he needs to do, he needs to be respected and he needs to be able to feel that respect amongst the body of Christ. And here at East End, I want to say thank you because I feel the respect of the body of Christ here and supported in multiple ways, not only financially, but as you stand behind us and with us in our work for the body of Christ, you are constantly there to lift us up whenever we're down. You're constantly there beside us, working beside us. But yet at the same time, as a minister, I want to challenge each and every one of us that we can do more. Every single person, I believe, can do more. Why do I say that? Because God has given us talents, and if we've invested those talents, God has increased our talents, our abilities, and therefore He continues to desire to increase those talents more. What's going to determine if He's going to give us an increase is if we continue to invest our talents to do more and more, to abound in the work of the Lord, to make certain that we are not only claiming to be a Christian, but in like figure that we're doing as God commands us to do. And as a minister, I appreciate so very much the respect and the support of which you give me. But also, we need to make certain that we always give our allegiance, total allegiance, full commitment to Jesus. Why to Jesus? Because it is all about Jesus. The Old Testament Scripture. Jesus is found in every book. What does that tell us? It was all about Jesus. The New Testament Scripture. Jesus is found in every book. What does that tell us? It's all about Jesus. And today, in our life, It must be all about Jesus. Maybe I should have entitled the sermon that. As we think in regard to the worship assembly, it must always be about Jesus. Why? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Good people today, I ask, where do you stand? Who are you following? Are you following yourself? Are you following some other man? Or are you following the man? Have you accepted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? He is the Savior. But have you accepted Him? You say, Kevin, how do I do that? We need to submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. That's the avenue that God has spelled out for us in this New Testament Scripture, wherein that we can come in contact with the blood of Christ. And at that time, the Lord adds us to His church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And as a result of that, then we are forgiven of our sins. Now, good people, we at that time are a Christian. And then our life must be all about Jesus. So today we ask you, where do you stand before God? Have you accepted Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, why do you wait?